All right, listen, I have found that most people, they struggle with something. And I don't know if you're this way. I know I'm this way. I'm going to put a statement up here and you tell me if it's true of you. Most of us struggle to know who we are. Who struggles with that? Like, you struggle to know who you are. Now, you might be like, what do you mean? I know where I'm from. I have a favorite this or that. You could tell me some things about you. But I'm talking about your identity, who you really are. In the series we're in called Grow, what we started to say last week was there's a person out there that we want to be. And most of us feel like there's a gap between who we want to be and who we actually are. It's like we're chasing that person, right? They're over here and we can't quite get to them. We're trying to catch up. In fact, what I said last week was it's not just who you want to be. I think it's who God has made you to be. So it's beyond who you want to be. It's who God has made you to be. Now, I want to stop, pause for a second and say, I get that some of us may not believe that, may not be there. Some of you might not be Christians. You might not be church people. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. I pray this is a place where you can take it at your pace, discover it, see if it's, you know, true in your life. I believe it is. But man, I just want you to know that I get that sometimes when I say something like, God's made you to be that way, you'd be like, whoa, I'm not sure I even believe in that. Well, here's the thing. A lot of Christians don't even believe in that. I have found that in my own life as a Christian, since saying yes to Jesus, I didn't instantly know who I was. Did anybody? What does it take to know who you are, to really understand your identity? That's what we're asking today. I'm going to get into that in just a moment. But I want to ask you this. What would your life be like if you really, truly knew who you were? Let that sink in. Let me ask it this way. What would your life be like if you knew why you existed? What would your life be like, here's another way of saying it, if you had a clear sense of identity, your identity, if you had a very clear sense of your identity? I can tell you that your life would be pretty incredible if you knew those things, don't you think? But you know, as incredible is good, but there's more than that. Can I push you past that? You would have, listen to this, see if this is what you're longing for, a peace and a security that you've never had. So that when things come at you, when people say things, whatever it is, you are going to say, I'm okay. You won't be shaken by the things we usually get shaken by. If I know who I am, then I'm not as shaken. So you'd have peace and you'd have a sense of security. But here's the thing. This is what we said last week. It's not going to happen to you. You're not just going to all of a sudden know who you are. It's going to take some intentional work on your part. It's going to take some discipline. I'm calling it spiritual discipline, right? Spiritual meaning something about God, and discipline meaning work. I've got to work at this God thing. Does that make sense? For you super religious, I'm not talking about, and I said this last week because we do this sometimes. I understand. I just want you to know I'm not talking about work salvation. If you don't know what that phrase is, don't even worry about it, all right? But the church comes up with things sometimes. We say things, and they're important things, like, you know, you can't earn your salvation. It's given to you, absolutely. But once it's given to you, that's what I'm talking about. Now, what do I do to continue? You didn't instantly become this. Yes, I did, John. Jesus covered me, and I'm perfect in his eyes. Amen. Gotcha. All right. See, I'm trying to make sure I talk to everybody, because we say things like that, right? But do you feel perfect in his eyes? You never struggle. You never struggle with your identity. Yes, you do. We all do, right? So there's this sense that we're over here and we're trying to get over there. And I thought when I became a Christian, I would be over here. And I'm here to tell you, especially even if you're not a Christian, it doesn't happen instantly. It does take work. I do think for people who are outside the church or outside of Christianity, they go, man, thanks for saying that. Like, it seems like that's true, but I'm just told that I'll be perfect. You won't feel it. You won't sense it immediately. It takes work. It's a lifetime. The scriptures talk about it and call it sanctification, becoming holy, understanding who we are in God. So we've got to be disciplined to do that, all right? So here's the question. What does it take to get over there when it as it relates to identity? What does it take to grow from how I feel about me to how God feels about me? Everything Joseph was just saying. We just sang a song. I mean, we're singing a song. I am who you say I am. What does it take to really grow in that direction and believe that? What does it take? Well, you ready? It takes work. It takes discipline to do it. And so I want to talk about what I think is the discipline today that it takes, the work it takes to get there. I wonder if that would interest you to know, how do I grow in that direction? I do want to know who I am. I struggle with my identity in God and understanding who He really says I am. What would it take to move in that direction? That's what I'm talking about. You interested? Or do I need to hang here a little bit more to get you interested? Yeah? All right. So this is what we do. If you're not a part of this church, I always say amen, and everybody says amen, and it just means yes. So amen? All right, you're with me. All right. You know, I can't hear good, and I heard that, so thank you. So what does it take? Here's what it takes. You and I have got to do this. Here it is. Read our story. What are you talking about? This right here. Now, some of you are like, John, don't usually bring a Bible up there. It's on my iPad. All right? We live in a culture where, and it, by the way, it didn't used to be on paper. It was orally said for centuries, and then it got written down, stuff like that. Nobody had these in their houses. Now we have three or more in our houses. This is the stat in America. And I can't remember the stat. It's over 50% of us don't read them. But it's a lot. And that's Christians, by the way. People who say that this is their book type thing, that we don't read it. And so what I'm saying is, listen, if you want to know who you are, if you want to go beyond singing, I am who you say I am, and in your head you're going, I don't know if I am who, you know, right? We're confused as we're even singing, and I understand that. God, I think, can speak truth to us while we're singing and all those kinds of things, but I think the primary way, there's lots of ways, but the primary way, if I could raise it up above all other ways that you're going to understand who you are, is by reading your story right here. Why do I call it our story? I call it our story because too often it gets turned into a religion book or a rules book or an earn God book or this or that. It gets turned into all those things. I call it our story because it's a relationship book. What's contained in here is your story, who you are, who you were, who you are in Christ, what God has done on your behalf, who He says you are, is written into the words of Scripture, of the Bible. Now, you guys know, I preached a few weeks ago and said, hey, be careful with turning this into your God. I'm talking about the Bible itself. I talked about loving the author, not the book, right? But he is the one in here that has given us this story. And so, I don't know, you may or may not believe that, but that's what I believe. And so I think, you know, that's what the church has believed for so long, that this was given to us. And so it's my story, right? It's our story. But what's incredible about it is it's not just our story, it's also God's story. I think it's our history book, honestly. This is our, and I know some of y'all don't like history, but you have a history. Not just your life, even before you, there's a history, like how we came into existence and what happened and why I struggle with God and why I struggle with doubt and, you know, wandering. Does anybody ever wander from God? Why you wander from God, that's in here. All that kind of stuff. And what He's done to bring us, all of that is in there. So it's our history book, really, as a church, as Christians. But it's also His story. So I would say this right now to make sure we're understanding. My history is wrapped up in His story. My history, who I am, who I've been, who I'm becoming, is all wrapped up in His story. this book. Whether you read it on paper, whether you read it on an iPad or whatever. The reason I brought this one is because I know some of y'all are like, it ain't real if it's on an iPad. Fine, here it is. All right. Brandon, can you tell I hadn't read this one yet? It's like brand new. I got many of them in my office, right? Most of us have a lot of these books lying around, or it's accessible. You've got the app or whatever. When's the last time you opened it? That kind of stuff, right? It's accessible. But what I'm saying today is my history is wrapped up in his story, about who we are, about our identity, all that kind of stuff. And this, my friends, is the source of your identity. Are you hearing me? Because this is what I'm saying. If you're right here and you don't know who you are and you want to be over there, you long to be over there, we really do. I believe most of us want to be who we are, who we really are in God's eyes. Even though we say the statements of, he makes me perfect in his eyes, but we don't feel that way. If you want to be more in that direction, understanding that, then what we're saying is this is the source for getting there. It is the primary source. John, are there other sources? Yes. But this is how it begins, is by reading and understanding our story, the story of God and us, who we are. But again, there are other sources to our identity. The reality is every one of us in this room are receiving our identity from somewhere. You all have an identity, every one of us do, and there are different sources that speak to our identity. You know what they are. One of them is other people. Some of us rely on other people. Do we have any, and I'm going to put my hand up, not to be in solidarity with you, but because it's true of me. Do we have any people pleasers in the house? Raise your hand. Please me, please. Your hand should be up if you're a people pleaser, or you are not. You're like, whoa, I'm not. Awesome. All right. There's more than that. Some of you are liars. Or I can't see very good either. But yeah, I'm a people pleaser. And so I rely on what people say. In fact, even this morning, I left my house really early, and I wasn't going to say this, but I'm saying it because it makes a point. I actually rewrote most of my message. I don't hardly ever do that. I just trust that the preparation and that during the week, and God will speak through that. That's me. That's how I communicate. But I could not rest very well last night, and so I feel like it was this, and so Shauna, my wife, texts me, and where are you? Like, I left really early. Coffee shop's open early. I'm so glad. And I'm like, well, I'm rewriting the sermon, blah, blah, blah. And she writes back. I'm telling on you, sweetie. She goes, make sure you're pleasing God, not people. So then I was really messed up. I actually wrote back and said something like, it's his fault. Like, I think it's him. Like, so we'll see. It's going to be a train wreck today. But no, I appreciate that because my wife knows me. She knows that I can try to please people instead of God. That you're really not my audience. God's my audience. I know I'm speaking to you, and that matters. Who's in the room? It really does. I'm passionate to share this with you, my friends, and people that, you know, I'm still meeting and getting to know. But some of us struggle, and we receive our identity from other people. It might be what you do. That's a common one. Career, things like that. And it's true that it can be men or women that way, but I have found, maybe it's just because I talked to more guys about this, that when a man is in a career that's not working for him or something, he struggles with identity. Again, it can happen with women. Sometimes when men lose a job or don't have a job, they feel like nobodies because they're not doing something. And we like to do stuff. That's just kind of how guys usually are, okay? So we get wrapped up in that. I know I have. So I struggle with people pleasing. Check this out as a pastor. People pleasing, and here's the other thing I struggle with. My job, and I, especially performing. I struggle with being a performer. And I feel like God put me on a stage. I'm like, that's very funny, God. Like, don't you know that feeds my ego? Don't you know my head blows up? Don't you? And see what I think God did with it for me? And it's different for different people. He put me here to kill it in me. And he dealt with both things, people-pleasing and he's dealing with it. I'm not perfect. I'm not there, but I will tell you, I have moved in that direction. So, you know, sometimes it's that. I just share my struggles with you. I mean, maybe it's books, podcasts, social media. Some of us live on that kind of stuff. It's the first place we go instead of other things. That's often other people as well. About, you know, feeding into your identity. And it could even be this. Joseph mentioned this when he was praying. Self, I identify me. You know, I tell myself who I am. There's lots of that self-help stuff. Speak to myself. Speak truth to myself, you know, from myself. Like, you know, and so there's a lot of that that's out there too. And so, you know, that's good, I guess, if you're doing well, but when you're not, it doesn't work, does it? It's like, I'm terrible. I was great yesterday, I'm terrible today. See, that's what happens when you're the source of your identity. So I would submit to you that all of those sources, they fail to give you your identity. Only God, through our story, can give us our identity. But you might go, well, why are you giving the Bible that much authority? Why are you giving that story that much authority? If those other things don't have the authority to speak to us, why do you feel like this does have the authority to tell us who we are? I mean, you're dealing with a really sensitive thing, my identity, who I am. I get that. If you don't think once in a while, I go, holy cow, my whole identity is wrapped up in this. My whole life, my career, everything. This better be true. Once in a while, I have that moment where I go, whoa, that's big. I get it. I've staked my whole life on it. Many of us have. They did in here. Staked everything on this identity, and I'm going to start pushing it towards identity in Christ, in Jesus, who lives inside of us, it says, by his Holy Spirit. There's a lot there, I understand, but that, I get that from here, by the way. I didn't just make that up. John 14, 15, 16, if you're dealing with the God inside of me, yep, John 14, 15, 16, read it. Jesus himself is speaking words. But why does this have the authority to tell me who I am? Well, I want to answer that question by using this itself to speak about itself. You'll see what I mean. Here's from 2 Timothy, Paul writes a letter to the first century church, and here's what he says. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture. And it is useful. You guys need something useful in your life to help you identify who you are? Wouldn't you like something useful? Wouldn't you like if God said, hey, I will give you something useful that will help you know who you are? Yeah, I'd like that, right? He says all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true. Would y'all like to know what's true? We live in a world where there's all kinds of truth, right? It's available everywhere and will tell you what's true. There are some people who say there is no absolute truth. That in itself is a statement of absolute truth. So you're telling me that what's absolutely true is that nothing is absolutely true. Okay. And some of you might be there, I don't know, but think deeply about what you're saying. So it teaches us what is true and it helps us realize what is wrong in our lives. Would you like to know what's wrong in your life? Would you like to know what's wrong in your thinking about yourself? Those negative thoughts and stuff, I feel unworthy, stuff like that. Would you like to know if that's a true statement or not? God can't love me. Would you like to know if that's true or not? Or wrong? Right? God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So then he starts pushing it towards, hey, once you begin to understand who you are, you start moving in this direction, then you're equipped, prepared to do work. Can I just stop here? Whole nother sermon, but I want to say to young people in the house today, I always let you self-identify with that, okay? If you say you're young. I am not. I'm 46, so if you're 46 or above, you are not young, okay? If you're young, don't worry, you listening, about what you're going to do with your life primarily. Worry about who you're becoming. Don't worry about who you're going to marry. Worry about who you're becoming. Worry about this journey. Now, I know some parents might be going, we're going to talk about this one later. So I get it. I'm sensitive. I'm careful with that. But my kids are sitting here. All right, I'm saying it. I have a daughter that took a gap year to go to Belize. I'm living it. I get it. Worrying more about who she's becoming rather than what she's going to do right now. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going straight to school. That's what I did. That's what most young people have done, and that's fine. It's great. But the point is, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, if you're young, listen, don't worry as much about what you're going to do. I know you go, that's easy for you to say. I know. I'm doing something. I get it. But listen, it's more about becoming this journey right here, because if you will become who God says you are, you can do anything he says you need to do. You'll be fine. All right, that's a whole other thing, but I just feel like, man, that's really important. All right, so why does this have the authority to define us? I'm using this scripture to say it does. It's because it's God, well, inspired. The word inspired, you know what it really means? God breathed. That's the translation. So it's kind of like inspiration is breathing in, expiration is breathing out. Like, you've got to do both. I mean, if you don't believe me, just try doing one. We'll give you like 5 minutes. You won't be here any longer. I mean, no, you have to breathe in and breathe out. Expire. What this is saying is God has inspired, breathed in to these words, his life. That's powerful. John, I thought people wrote it. Yes, they did. Inspired by God. God used them, breathed through them. Fallible people. That ought to increase our faith. Some of us believe, I'm just sharing, that this fell out of the sky. And I get some people have no idea how this got here. This got here over thousands of years by dozens of people that God inspired. Some people like to get into fights about whether it's inerrant or not. It says that it's inspired. I don't like to get into fights about that. You can have your fights about it, that's fine. What I believe is that God is in here because he breathed into it his life. So I think what we could say is this: the Bible's words are God's words. That's what I believe. The Bible's words are God's words. Yes, sir. Is that coming from me? I don't know if it is. Okay, all right. Man. Preachers get scared when that stuff happens, man. I really think in the AVL booth, they have a mic, and they're just like, bow, bow, let's get them on that one. Thanks, guys. All right. The Bible's words are God's words. Think about the truth of that statement, if it's true. I believe it is. If you believe that God speaks through this, other things, yes, but this primarily being the first thing, why would you not read it? Listen, man, he's tough. I said this last week or to my staff, I don't know, it's embarrassing, but I have gone years leading churches without reading this. You want a preacher that doesn't read this? I don't want a church that doesn't read this. We are in the, this is, I get, this is like, whoa, man, this is kind of, but I'm trying to inspire us, I hope. Challenge us, yes. Convict, even. Not make feel guilty, that's not what it's about. But if who we are is in here, see, I want you to know who you are. I'm passionate about us knowing who we are. Not turning it into a bunch of rules and stuff like that. Look, if you knew who you were, when somebody came up to you or something in life, or you heard something that sounded offensive, it could be offensive. It might be said wrong. But if it's something to the effect of, let's say, living together before you get married and having sex before you get married, that's clearly in here not something we're supposed to do. Now, some people want to argue with that, fight over it. Okay. But that's not who you are. There's a reason for it. All right? If you're doing that, if you're what God forgives, he loves, yes, all of that. And he wants you to know who you are because he loves you so much. He wants you to know what it looks like in marriage, to live in that kind of relationship. But see, we get all bent out of shape because we turn all this into rules and stuff. I'm telling you, if you had a relationship with God, it's our story, it makes the, I'm willing to, okay, God, I guess that's one of the, I don't get that rule. I don't like that rule. It's fine. You ever deal with this with kids? But you know it's right, don't you? You're like, I know you don't get it, but I love you and it's good for you. So we're going to do this. Amen? Don't you think God's that way? I mean, so, you know, if you're struggling with some of that, focus on the relationship, all right? You're too focused on the rules. Because this really is God's, the Bible is God's words. Now, man, I rewrote it, so I'm a mess. So we've been saying this isn't a religion book, a rules book, right? We're saying it's a relationship book. It's our story. It's his story. Our history is bound up in his story, right? About who God is. And so what Paul is telling Timothy, it's an apostle telling a younger disciple, Timothy, about Scripture. And by the way, that wasn't even Scripture. That blow your mind? That was a letter written to the first century church that became Scripture over time. But it was just a letter that was circulated. Paul said, read this letter to the churches. But the thing is that God wrote that through Paul is what we believe. And so God himself is really the author. So what gives this the authority to speak to us? Well, I'd say it this way. Because God is the author of our story, it gives him the authority to tell our story. See, you're not the author of your story. That's why you don't have the authority to say who you are. I'm not the author of your story. By the way, we really should build each other up, not tear each other down. Speak what's in here to one another. I especially think err on the side of love and grace with people so that they know they're loved by God, drawn into relationship with God, all those kinds of things. Welcome people into the family, all of that, right? But the reason that this works is because God wrote it. And if he is the author and nothing else is, then it gives him the authority to tell the story. So I was like, as I looked at that this week, I was like, now this part was in my message, this part. And I was looking at it and I was like, huh, those two words look similar. Right? Don't they? Author and authority? Yeah, I'm bright like that. Don't you love that? I was like, huh, I wonder if they're the same. They are. Same root word. I know you're like, seriously, John, you didn't see that? It took me a minute. The author of a story is the one who tells the story. But here's the thing. I was like, I wonder what authority really is. And so I looked up authority. And authority basically means the power to settle something that is disputed. The power. The power to settle something that is disputed. There is something disputed in this room. It's your identity. You're struggling to know who you are. You walked in a dispute. Some of you will walk out disputing your identity. Your whole rest of your life will be, am I who God says I am, or am I not? You walked in wondering that. Many of us walk out wondering that, but I'm telling you, it can change. Because God has the power to settle the dispute. Some of you, football season, it's in, right, I think? Yeah. Y'all, anybody happy, sad? I don't know. I've had some congratulations because UK won. Don't throw anything at me if you're a Florida. All right, but Georgia. I mean, a lot of y'all ought to be happy. There's a lot of Georgia fans in here. Amen. All right, but I know. Look, I'm going to ruin the whole sermon talking about football. So sometimes in football, there's an interesting thing that happens. There's a call made on the field, and then they dispute the call. You can tell because the coach is over there, like, you got to like mute it if you have kids, and you can still tell what they're saying. You know what I mean? And so they're arguing. Everything stops, and so the ref will say, "Look, there was a call on the field, but we're going to send it up for further review." And they always look up. I'm like, where? So it goes up somewhere in the, up there. There's some box in the sky. And there's something, and you're all waiting, and depending on what team you like, you're right and everybody else is wrong, you know what I mean? And then it comes back, and then the ref walks out on the field, and you're just hanging on the edge, right, if it depending on what call you want. And the ref will say this sometimes. He'll say, "Look, the call on the field was this. But upon further review, it's been overturned." Friends, there's been a call on the field in the world, and it's that we're nothing. It's that we're unworthy. It's that we don't get heaven. It's that we messed up, we screwed up, we continue to do it, and it's just too bad for us. We're losers. But see, God said, no. That's the call on the field. That's in the world. We're sending it up here. And so then God says back, listen, the call on the field, on the earth, is this, but upon further review, it doesn't stand. I overturn it in Jesus. I have given my son to save you, to rescue you, to give you new life. You are who you say, who I say you are. You can begin to say who you are. You can listen to who I say you are. It's all right here. Been overturned. There is no dispute. God has the authority. Now listen, as great as this is, and I felt like there would be, I don't know, just this morning drinking that coffee, I got to get this done. Oh, I can't believe it. I did save the other one. See, I don't have faith, do I? I put version 2. Just in case. Yeah, but this is the second one. I was like, we'll get to a moment, and then what will happen is this. There will be some emotions in the room. I think some of you are like, whoa, man. This is deep. It is. It's about your identity. It's about the rest of your life. This is serious business. But I knew that for many of us, it would be emotional. Some of you, it won't be. You'll just be like, huh, that's weird. Why are they getting so emotional? And I love emotion. Emotion is good. It can propel us forward. But here's the thing. It's not enough. It won't last. If all you have is an emotional moment today, you will not get to where God wants you to be in your identity. You've got to do something. I've already told you what it is. I've gotten y'all up in a, you know, emotional about reading this. This is the answer to your identity. Try it. Just try it. I beg of you to try it. Read the story. Read your story. Read who you are. Read what God has done to make you his son or his daughter. The greatest moment of my life was when I realized I'm not a servant of God. And see, I'm a preacher, I'm a performer, I'm a servant. I'm a son of God. A son of God, that's my identity. Son of God, daughter of the King. That's who I am. This is who it says I am. But it's tied up in me getting intimate with Jesus. See, my identity is born out of my intimacy with God. My identity in God, that is born out of my intimacy with God, this. So will you tomorrow get up and read this? Will you later today begin to read? I don't know what to read. Read Romans, read Psalms, read John. Not just because my name's John. I like that book. It's a good book. Read John. Begins to get at who you are. Romans is all about that. You're this, you're this, you're this. At first you'd be like, finish it. But God made you this.